follow, but we'll see what we can do. Thank you, Aaron, for putting that together. Take your Bibles, please, turn to the Gospel of Luke with me, Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and keep your Bibles open. Initially here, we'd like to take you to a couple of different passages. And as we begin a new year, I'd like to address the subject of developing our relationship with the Lord and some ways in which we can make this a very profitable year in seeking God and growing in our relationship with Him. And this is what it's really all about. God has saved us so that we might have our relationship with Him through Christ the Lord, and then develop that relationship through a lifetime of humbling ourselves before God and walking with Him. But we find in the Gospel of Luke chapter 2 and verse 52, the very last verse in that chapter, that we find these words, that Jesus Christ increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man. Lord, I do pray that you'd bless our time in your word now. We do thank you for the Christmas season. God, it's always wonderful to be reminded of your great love during this time of year and how that God was manifested in the flesh that he might taste our death. And we give you praise, Lord, for that. And thank you for the salvation that we have in you. And I pray, Father, that because of our salvation in Christ, that we would draw closer to the one who loved us and gave himself for us. And Father, that we would be seeking God this year. And Lord, it would be a wonderful year of fellowship with you, with one another, and the God of heaven would favor us with his presence in this place. We thank you now for this service. We pray that you'd bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. As a Bible reader, you're familiar with the fact that there's not much in the Scripture concerning Christ's childhood. And our text indicates that at around the age of 12, it just summarizes Christ's childhood by saying that Christ increased in wisdom, in mental capacity, if you will, in stature. He grew as a man, and then he certainly had favor with God and with man. So from the age of 12 to 30, we really do not know much about what took place in the life of Christ. No doubt learned some of the trade of his father, Joseph. Probably was in great favor with those who were in the community or that little village known as Nazareth, because you're speaking about a boy, a young man here that never sinned, never sassed his parents, and probably everybody just was in awe of the kind of life of integrity that he lived. And in fact, his siblings probably didn't even care for their brother too much, because he never was rebuked and never was spanked and just lived that perfect life, you know, as he was growing up there in Nazareth. As he got older, we find that if you go to the next chapter in Luke chapter 3, we find that he comes to his second cousin, John the Baptist, to begin his ministry. But he begins his ministry by following the law of God required of him to fulfill all righteousness. And the third chapter of Luke in verse 22 says that the Holy Ghost of God fell upon in a bodily shape like a dove upon and fell upon him. This is after Christ was baptized in verse 21. And there was a voice that came from heaven from God that says, "Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." In verse 23 says, "And Jesus began to be about 30 years of age." So we saw in the previous chapter that he is growing in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. He comes to John the Baptist and he is baptized to fulfill all righteousness, and he begins his public ministry. You get to the fourth chapter and you find that as he prepares for this ministry, that the devil drives him into the wilderness, and for 40 days and 40 nights, there he is tempted of the devil and tempted to disobey God and tempted with sensual pleasures. And he was victorious through the word of God. And as a result of that victory, he comes down from the wilderness and he begins to commence with his public ministry. And he travels to synagogues, the gathering places of the religious Jewish people, to hear the Torah and hear from the voice of God through the word of God. And we read in Luke chapter number 4, 4 in verse number 17 that he comes and in one of the synagogues there in the city of Nazareth, he is given the Bible, the Torah, the scroll, and he unrolls it, and he finds his place in Isaiah, and in the book of Isaiah he reads the Spirit, this is Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He closed the book and the scroll and rolled it up, and he gave it again to the minister, the lead rabbi, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And Christ began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Down to verse 31, he comes to Capernaum, and there he gathers with the people of God in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Verse 32 says, they were astonished on that day there in Capernaum, that they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. In verse 36, they were all amazed, those that heard him. And they spake among themselves, and they were saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits, and they come out of him. Verse 43, the end of the chapter, chapter 4, he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. And so the powerful ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ is commencing. And for 3.5 years, he travels throughout Galilee and Judea, and he preaches the word of God, and he heals the sick, and he raises the dead, and he cleanses the lepers. And he's engaged in this ministry unlike any other that Judah and Jerusalem had known. And as he's ministering, he gathers to himself men. Men who were 12 in total. Men who would first be called disciples, and then they would become apostles. They are learners. They are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are going to be sent out to carry his message to Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the world. We find in Luke chapter number 5, and one occasion where some of the disciples are fishing. And as Christ comes to them, in verses 10 and 11, we find these words, that there was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all. And what did they do? They followed him. They came and they followed him. They left their fishing business in order to follow the Lord. They wanted to be responsive to his call to follow. In Matthew chapter number 2, I believe it is. Yes, Matthew chapter 2, we find in that scripture, in verses 14 and 15, Jesus finds a man by the name of Levi, otherwise known as Matthew, who is an employee of the Roman government, and he's collecting taxes. And Jesus says to Levi, he says, I want you to come, and I want you to get up from that table. I want you to follow me. I want you to follow me. In John chapter 1, if you want to turn there with me, we find that there's a listing of some of the disciples that Jesus called to himself. And we find in John's Gospel in chapter number 1 and verse 37 and following that he presents himself to John the Baptist. Again, he is baptized. John the Baptist declares him to be the Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world. And in John 1:37, two of the disciples heard him speak. These are two of John's disciples who heard Christ speak, and they followed him. They followed Jesus. Verse 38 says, then Jesus turned and saw them following. And they saith unto them, what seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he saith unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, Follow me. In these passages that we've been considered here, we find that the operative word is the word follow. That these men, they left what they were doing and they got up and they sought to follow the Lord. Christ has called these men unto himself and he wants them to follow. Later on in the Gospel of Luke in chapter number 9 in verse 23, Jesus said that if they wanted to be his disciples, that they would have to forsake all and that they would have to take up their cross daily, denying themselves in the process, and they would follow him. Seek to follow the Lord. The Apostle Paul would use that same terminology, and he would come to the church at Corinth in chapter 11 and verse 1, and he would say to the church there, he said, I want you to follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. Peter would use similar terms when he would say in his book of 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse 21, he says to follow in the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ, to follow in his steps. The word is follow. And I just like to challenge us this morning on this Sunday after Christmas. I cannot think of a better thing to do after Christmas than to have a heart's desire that is bent and passionate toward following and pursuing the Savior who came to die for us, who was born to die for us, to follow him. And I pray that God would enable us by his grace to follow him, to be like him, to learn of him, to love him, to walk with him. And in this process, folks, as we follow him, we are going to be developing our relationship with him. Think with me this morning of some of the terms that are often used to describe relationships. Even in the stillness of this moment, think with me. How about such words as non-existent? Many people have non-existent relationships. I'm talking even with people. There are words like estranged relationships, broken relationships, hurting relationships, a relationship that is perhaps described as just an acquaintance, maybe a casual relationship. But then we find terms like close relationships, loving relationships. This is my best relationship. And there's other terms I'm sure that you could think of this morning. But folks, when we think about being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ and following him and developing that relationship with him, that relationship, that discipleship, folks, that is something that we are not born with. It is something that we must adhere to. It is something that we must pursue. It is something that we must develop in our lives. God has always wanted for us a relationship with him. He's always wanted us for that purpose. He created Adam and Eve, did he not? For that relationship. God's habit was to be in the presence of Adam and Eve in that relationship in the cool of the garden. And we, from that beginning of Genesis throughout the whole Bible, we find all kinds of relationships that men and women of God and prophets and disciples had with the Lord. People who walked with God, people who were in the presence of the Lord and growing ever closer to him. And folks, if you're a Christian here this morning, in Christ, we are sons and daughters of God. In Christ, that we have that kind of relationship. Jesus himself calls us brothers and sisters and friends. Those are terms of relationship. We have a relationship with the living God, the creator of all things, who has redeemed us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wants us to have that relationship that begins at salvation and throughout our entire life develops and grows and prospers. So how would we describe our relationship this first Sunday of 2017? Where do we want this relationship to go? Where do we want it to go? How do we want to engage in this relationship with the living God? The Lord has initiated it, certainly, as He comes to us in the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He wants us. Jesus wants you. God the Father wants you and me in this relationship with Himself and growing in it. A fellow by the name of Joe Hesch wrote the following. He said, in a world that is focused on improved techniques and newer technologies, there has never been discovered a shortcut to building relationships, not with people and especially not with God. No shortcuts. So what are we going to do? We have to develop that relationship. We have to want to grow that relationship with our Lord. And folks, do we not tell the lost that Christianity is not a religion per se, but it is a
relationship.
It's a relationship. And so we show the world that it is a relationship by our very own relationship with our God. Well, what are some of the elements of building these relationships with this relationship with the Lord? You might want to jot them down and rehearse them from time to time over the course of the year. Number one, it's time. There's never been a relationship that has grown without the expenditure of time. You must have time. You must invest time in it. And that is that you and I decide to make a conscious choice that we exchange our time for the development of that relationship. And we all know that we generally spend our time in what we have to do, what we must do, and what we want to do. This is how we spend our time. And you know, you might at the beginning, I remember in my own beginning, my own Christian life, at the beginning of it, you know, you would hear the pastor, and I would hear the pastor say, you know, you need to read your Bible, and you need to pray, and you need to be in the house of God, and you hear the pastor encouraging me to do that. And you know, that's good for a little while, but it will only last so long. You've got to come to the place where it's something that you want to do. You can only hear the pastor say it a few times before you have to come to the place where this is something that is brewing in my own soul. That is that I want to develop my relationship with the living God that has saved me. It's something that I want to do. That I want to say like the Apostle Paul said, that I might know Him. That I might know Him. Any good relationship that you have, any of the relationships that you have been developed because there has been an exchange of time. There has been an investment of time. For those of us who are married here this morning, certainly we weren't introduced to our spouses one moment and married the next moment. You know, we had to have some time elapse, didn't we, in order to build and discover that relationship, what it could be, and the potential that it had. When I started dating my wife, I remember that one of the occasions that stick out of my memory and getting to spend time with her and to be with her is that she and her mom and her dad invited me over for dinner one night. You know, they say that the way to a man's heart is through his... Okay, and so she had me over for a roast dinner. And she would later tell me that it wasn't the best that she had ever made at that time. So I got to know her a little bit at that time. But what did I discover? I discovered that she had potential as a great cook. And she was winning my heart through my belly. And the first roast that she ever introduced me to was okay, wasn't the best. I'll just be honest. And she'll tell you that, right, hon? She'll tell you that. But now, 30-some years later, she is the best cook of roast I've ever experienced in my whole life. Oh, man, she just became a great... I saw the potential in that relationship. And so that it became what it has become. And certainly when we see the potential that we can have as the people of God and having a relationship with the living God that can be growing and developing because we spend the appropriate amount of time with Him and become intimate with Him. And so what we do is that we desire, Peter says, the sincere milk of the Word of God that we might grow thereby. And we want to say, come to the Word of God, and we say, Lord, open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your law, so that I might see God and who he is and what he's like, and develop that relationship with him. I think of the words of Christ who says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into the closet and pray unto the Father. That's a growing intimacy. That's a growing relationship through the Word of God and through prayer. You see, the disciples whom Jesus called, that we read about this morning, that he told to get up and follow me, it tells us in the Word of God that they just sought to be with him. That's time. That's the development of the relationship. The songwriter said it this way, you know it, take time to be holy. Take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. You see, to follow Christ, to know him and his ways that are revealed to us in the Word of God, we come to the Scriptures and we find that they call upon us to get up and to follow him, to commune with him. I'd like to just encourage us this morning, as we are at the precipice of a new year, that we'll enter 2017 asking God to increase the amount of time in our relationship with him so that it grows. You know, Martin Luther had said of him that he spent 3 hours a day in prayer. I once heard a South African pastor, not in person, but through a tape ministry. I heard the South African pastor said that the person that once prayed for him was an elderly woman who had a super long prayer list. And she added him, this preacher, to her prayer list. And she would spend 8 to 9 hours a day seeking God. Now, the average person, we understand, cannot spend that kind of time. I understand that. And God understands. But I'm simply saying that people who know that there's a need, people who know that there's like a need for revival and a need for a growing relationship, and people who have burdens and they want to pray for those burdens, know that it comes, these burdens can be relieved because there are some people who are spending time with God. Folks, in 2017, the American Christian is facing all kinds of distractions to steal away from us our time that we could better invest in the Word of God and in prayer and getting to know our God. Many people know more about entertainers than they know about Jesus Christ. That's got to change. If we're ever going to see a revival, if we're going to see America recaptured for God, we've got to be ones who are willing to spend time with the Lord and develop a relationship with him. That's one of the elements. Here's a second one, and that is the matter of communication. It's closely related with time, but just takes a little different nuance to it. That is to have communication with God. Communication has been defined as the transmission of thoughts from one person to another. It's the transmission of thoughts from one person to another, and such communication is necessary in order to build a relationship. The number one problem in marriages is not intimacy, and it is not money. It is communication. It is communication. It is communication where people listen and people speak lovingly one with another. Talking and listening is key to building any relationship. Talking and listening. Talking and listening. Samuel, before he became a prophet, was a young child, and he simply said this, Lord, speak to me. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. I'm going to listen as you speak. And I'm going to speak to you as well. Folks, if we had that heart cry, that we would cry unto the Lord and say, Lord, I'm ready to hear you. I want to hear you through your word today. I want to hear you throughout this week as I'm in the Scriptures. I want to listen to the voice of God. Lord, let me hear your speaking voice through the Spirit of God. And by the way, the Spirit of God never conflicts with the Word of God. Always keep that in mind. Oftentimes today, people will say, well, the Spirit of God led me to do this, and it's 180 degrees from what the revealed Word of God is. The two cannot be contradictory. But anyway, the point is to communicate. Let God communicate to you, and you communicate to Him. He invites us to come and speak to Him. And take those moments before the Lord and develop that relationship with you. In the Bible, there's all kinds of illustrations where we see true communication. For example, in the Lord's relationship with the prophets, we find Elijah. We find Elijah calling down fire from heaven. And yet the next time we see him, that he's cowering in fear, struggling with the emotion of that fear and wanting to die. Folks, that's honest communication. He was able to call down that fire from heaven and then revealed his heart of struggle that he had at that moment of time. You think of Job. The Bible tells us that when Job lost everything, think of the heartache that he had to communicate to his Father in heaven. And yet he says, it is said of Job, that in that he did not sin against God, charge God foolishly or sin not. You see, we all have these extremes sometimes, don't we? We all have those emotional upheavals sometimes, those burdens. I think of Jeremiah the prophet. One moment he's thundering the message of God and calling upon the people of God to repent and get right with God. And the next time we find him just broken, weeping, called the weeping prophet. And he was able to communicate with God, and God was able to communicate with him in those difficulties as well as those triumphs. Jesus comes to the Father. We saw this even last week where the Father, he comes to Christ, the Father in prayer. He says, Lord, if you could deliver this cup from me, thinking about the coming crucifixion, nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. You see, that's an expression of a person who wanted to communicate with his Father and wanted to develop, and certainly had been developed, a perfect relationship with his Father. And folks, we can get up and we can follow the Lord and we can get closer to him by spending the time and communicating with him and having an ear that would listen and a voice that communicates our hearts, no matter what is on our heart, to our Father, and he is ready to hear that. God is good, folks. He's so good that he says, I want you as my child. I want you as my friend. Would you come and become my friend? We have a wonderful friendship. Jesus said that he would call us friends, lay down his life for us as his friends, that we would have a more intimate, developed relationship with him. And one last point, and that has to do with the third element. The first element is time. Relationships are built with time. Relationships are built with communication. With communication. Listening and speaking to people, certainly, and certainly to God, and God speaking to you. A third element of developing a relationship is the element of circumstances. Jesus told the disciples to get up and to follow him. And so 12 of them did. Others came along from time to time, but in the end, we find that there were 12 disciples, 12 apostles. And in those, in the relationship that Jesus had with the 12, he saw them and they saw him in the circumstances of life. In the circumstances of life. They saw in each other's life how the disciples and how Jesus responded, what words were said, what attitudes were portrayed, all because of the circumstances that affected their life. And folks, when you get to know people, you see how they react to the circumstances that come upon their life. You know, it's the proverbial tea bag in the water. You know, what's in the tea bag comes out of the hot water, doesn't it? And when the water becomes hot for us, and the circumstances were perhaps not always pleasant, we learn quickly how we are going to respond to some of those things. And our friends, and especially our best friend, Jesus Christ, knows how we're going to respond. And we get to see how the Lord responds in those circumstances that we are facing as well. Because the disciples... Folks, the disciples saw Jesus in a variety of circumstances, and they learned about him in those circumstances. Max Garrett wrote the following, speaking about the disciples. He said, it is specified that the 12 apostles are appointed in the first place that they might be with him. For close to 3 years, these men experienced not the limited contact of the classroom or the pulpit, but full contact in every phase of life. Isn't it true that after you become man and wife and circumstances continue to change and responses to those circumstances change and the revelation of who your spouse really is becomes real? You know what I'm talking about. Honey, I never knew that you squeezed the toothpaste from the bottom instead of the top. Everybody knows that you're supposed to grab it from the top and squeeze it as hard as you can so it just looks like a contorted tube of some kind. I didn't know that. That's the circumstances. And we kind of chuckle about that kind of thing. But then there are serious circumstances, don't they? And we all react differently sometimes to those. I think of how the disciples, they saw Him, Christ. They saw Christ trusting His Father. They saw Him trusting the Father when Christ was threatened with stoning. And then they saw Christ full of compassion when He forgave the woman caught in adultery. They saw the Lord Jesus' righteous indignation and anger when He cleansed out the temple because they had desecrated the Father's house. Yet they saw His great love when He raised the son of a mother from the grave, or from the funeral pyre. They saw His passion as He prayed. These were circumstances that the disciples were exposed to from the life of Christ that enabled them to know Him better. And of course, Jesus saw the disciples in the circumstances that they faced. And He knew, of course, He knows what's in every man, doesn't He? He knows what's in every man. But when they were receiving His teaching, Jesus saw how that the disciples were struggling to receive His word. Jesus saw their fear when they rode out the storm on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus saw their faith, however, when they left in pairs of two to go out into the workforce, so to speak, and preach the gospel. Jesus saw their lack of faith when they deserted Him. These are circumstances. At this very hour, my friends, our Lord Christ has ascended. 2,000 plus years ago, He ascended, but He sent His Holy Spirit to indwell us. And the Spirit of God reveals to us during our times of circumstantial living. And all of life is about circumstances, isn't it? And so during the circumstances of our lives, our living, we find the Holy Spirit of God revealing ourselves to ourselves. Because our Lord already knows who we are. And in those circumstances, you see, in ministering to the Spirit, or Spirit ministering to us rather, we discover that growing relationship. John Van Gelder wrote a book entitled Friendship with the Holy Spirit. He's an evangelist, some of you have heard here before. But the idea is there that you're developing that relationship, listening to the voice of the Spirit of God through the Word of God. But you develop that. We learn what the Spirit is like. We learn what God certainly knows what we are like. In those circumstances, you see, we find where we are, what places are weak and what places are strong. Paul told the church of Ephesus, he said, I want you to pray that the Spirit of God would strengthen you in the inner man, and that Christ would dwell in your heart by faith, and that you might know all the fullness of God. Talk about a relationship. All the fullness of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You and I can all experience that, developing that relationship, going deeper in that relationship. And many times it's circumstances that reveal the Father to us and the Son to us and the Holy Spirit to us. And we grow as a result of that. You know the old hymn that says, we may trust Him fully, all for us to do. They who trust Him wholly, find Him wholly true. What is she writing about? What is Frances Havergal writing about? She's writing about circumstances of the relationship. We can trust Him fully. Fully. You see, people that can write like that and live like that have spent time with Jesus Christ. and they have communed with him, and they've had communication with him, and they've seen him bless them and provide for them and even encourage them during the deep, dark experiences of circumstances and of life. And folks, all those things are all these things lead to wonderful possibilities of a deeper, more abiding relationship with the Son of God. So can I challenge you this year to join with me in spending more time with the Lord? Walk with Him. Commune with Him. Listen to His voice. Allow Him to work through your circumstances and discover truths about the living God during the circumstances that He allows to go through His hand. The circumstances that touch our life as believers have been allowed by God. And let Him teach us through that about our relationship with Him. Let me close with this. A couple of Wednesdays ago on the 14th of December, I had to go down and pick up Joy from college for Christmas vacation. We had a debate about that. We didn't know if we wanted her here for Christmas or not. So, how are we going to work this out? And just kidding. I'm glad some of you are laughing about this. So anyway, I went down to pick her up. And I went down by myself. It's a 9.5-hour, 10-hour drive. And I said, Lord, I want this to be a time with you in the car. I want it to just be you and me in the car. And so I left at 5 o'clock in the morning and started out. I went out to I-70 and just south of Frederick, about 2 hours after I left home, about 7 o'clock in the morning, I'm going along. And as I'm driving, I said, Lord, I want to use this time to pray. So I've been praying, talking to the Lord during my time of travel. And I'm just rejoicing in the Lord, talking to Him about some things. And I'm going down the 340 there, south of Frederick. And there's this truck that comes right alongside me, probably going about 80 miles an hour, just whips by me. And within a flash, he just cuts me off my lane, comes over into my lane. And I missed hitting him by inches. I mean, it was inches. And at that moment, as I was praying, even before all that situation happened, and I said, thank you, Lord, for sending your guardian angel to direct the vehicles and so forth. And I could have ended up in this guy's lap or something. But anyway, the Lord protected me. And on the way down, the rest of the day, I spent time praying, listening to a Bible on CD, listening to the Word of God on CD, listening to preaching, listening to good godly music that blessed my heart and encouraged me, sang to the Lord. You can sing as loud as you want to in the car. You don't have to worry about anybody else, getting bothered by your singing. So my whole ride was like that. My whole ride was like that. And it was a blessing. And the Lord visited with me in my car. And He just confirmed some things in my own heart. He encouraged me in His will. He just caused my heart to rejoice over some things that I needed rejoicing over. And I finished that drive. And it just seemed like it wasn't 9.5 hours, but it was much less. But it was 9.5 hours. I didn't speed too much, So, but anyway, I say this not to, I'm not trying to elevate myself up or something before you. I'm simply saying that during that time, God blessed my soul and encouraged my heart and heard my prayers and came to me and said, basically, Jeff, I want a closer relationship with you, and I'm glad that you want a closer relationship with me. And He just simply came and manifested Himself to me during that time together. Folks, this is what He wants to do for us. He wants us to know Him. He's given us a book. He's given us the Holy Spirit so that we might know Him. He orchestrates the circumstances of our life that we might come to know Him. And my prayer, my heart's prayer, beloved, is that our year together in this place, if the Lord tarries in His coming, will be a day which God visits us collectively and separately in our homes and in our lives and in our church life, and something's going to happen uniquely different in this place. Why? Because God has come to His people who are seeking for Him. He will come to His people who are seeking for Him. Seek Him, beloved, with all your heart. Seek Him with all your heart. Spend the time that is necessary. Have a communicative heart toward the Lord. Allow Him to work in your circumstances and honor Him in them. And you will get to know the Lord so much better, even as I will. Let's pray together, shall we? Just before I pray, the first step toward having an intimate relationship with the Lord is knowing Him through Jesus Christ the Lord. And I'm wondering this morning in this congregation if there's anyone that does not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you were to die right now, you're not sure of heaven. You do not know where you'll spend eternity. But you would like to know, and you would like someone to pray with you. We're not going to call on you or embarrass you in any way. I just want to pray for you. Anybody at all doesn't know for sure that they're saved, doesn't know for sure that they can have a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody at all like that? Speaking to Christians then this morning, you and I, we have to resolve in our heart that this is what we want. We want to grow in this relationship. We want to develop the relationship with God. And so I pray that the Lord will help us to take the steps that are necessary this year. Lord, please give us a passion for Thee. Give us a heart that beats for the Lord. May we pant after Thee even as the heart panteth after the water brook. May we, Father, just rejoice that we can know the Father and know the Son and know the Holy Spirit, and that You can come to us and minister to us as we seek You. Lord, help us to listen to the words of Jesus, who tells us to get up and follow and to become Your disciples and to become Your friends and develop that relationship with You. Father, I pray that You would help us to put aside any indifference or apathy or any laziness, God, that sometimes creeps into our lives that keeps us away from spending time with You, Lord. Please give us a new birth of zeal and a new passion, Father, that would want to know Thee and to make You known. God, would You use us, God, and make us usable by being intimate with You, Father. Lord, we want to be obedient children unto God, and we want to be good friends of our Lord Christ, and we want to allow the Holy Spirit to exercise His power and His will through us as we yield ourselves daily to Him. So, Father, I pray that great things would happen in our lives. Why? Because we know the true and the living God, and we love Him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.